Today, the text that we just read address the issues that we are facing today as present-day followers of Christ. The question that this issue confronts us is this: what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? You know that we walk by faith. And what does it mean in our everyday lives to walk by faith, not by sight? Well, you have seen, we have heard in the King James Version, but the English Standard Version goes like this as well. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Other versions use the word live than walk. So if you're going to take that word for we live by faith and not by sight, it's very encouraging to stop and reflect about what it means and what does it involve to walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe a lot of Christians grapple with that. How can I live by faith and not by sight? The word walk in this verse, and particularly in verse 7, is a figurative or symbolical reference to the way a person conducts his life or her life. We still use the word or the phrase all in all walks of life to mean a variety of lifestyle or cultures that every nation and its people live their lives. The Christian walks either by faith or by sight. These two contradictory words are principles of action. They're action that we either live by faith or by sight, which are mutually exclusive and have some contradiction in them. Like, for instance, to cite an example to understand mutually exclusive and contradictory in terms, like the Christians' view of faith is that in order to see, we must believe first, isn't it? We must believe, and that is faith. But the world is opposite. We must see first before we can believe, isn't it? We must see the reality. We must touch the tangibleness of things or idea that others try to bombard us to experience what that sight is. It came to one of the disciples, the doubting Thomas, unless I put my finger on his side, I will not believe. So you want to see first. But he heard already what happened to the Lord Jesus in his crucifixion and in his last breath on the cross. But of course, although he is one of the apostles, the faith of everyone is different in the way they perceive and respond to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to us. So, coming back to the question, what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? We should realize that walking by faith or by sight is sometimes, perhaps, we find ourselves struggling. What does it cost me to do this? What does it involve? And what is involved in living a life of faith and not by sight? So, Paul stated it not contradictory, but with a sense of a little bit of negativeness, but it is positive in all its fullness. It states that we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at it in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, a craving for our outwards, for any outward sign as an evidence or inward feeling to verify our faith or to believe, first, sometimes we find ourselves in that, unless we believe or unless we see or touch faith, or we cannot come to that reality, isn't it? But the statement of Paul is very encouraging, because we all walk by faith and not by sight. So this inward feeling or looking for outward sign is a mark of slow spiritual growth, because we want to an evidence. We want something that we want to see first. Although we are Christians, sometimes that happens to us. We grapple with that. But we are asking more often in our prayer that God will grant us faith to believe in all the prayers that we utter. More often than not, when we pray, we forget our prayers. And the faith that continues to believe in God's promises is waning after a few minutes or even hours of the day. And we forget. And sometimes when the Lord answers our prayer in a prolonged period of time, we tend to doubt, isn't it? But that is not the case what Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about that our walk with the Lord should be by faith and not by sight. For example, Abraham looked away from earthly dwelling place to a city whose builder and maker is God. Moses, as we all know, turned his back on earthly comfort of living under the Pharaoh's palace or household, and all the amenities of luxury of life are there. But he refused them, because that is not what God intended him to live. He want to be among his people and to be an encourager, a so-called type of Christ that will save his people from the slavery of Pharaoh, which now at present, at that period of time that Moses faces, his people are suffering. How can I enjoy my life in the palace with the Pharaoh and her daughter if my own people are suffering? He could not endure that. And so he turned his back on the earthly comfort of living and endured seeing the invisible God, the God who talked to him, who created him, whose plan and purpose to be a type of Christ to save his people from further deterioration of slavery and mistreatment. What a glorious type that we can see in the life of Moses as a type of Christ, who is to come to save his people from their sin. And it came in the fullness of time that the Lord, that the Father sent his beloved Son to save his people from their sin. So these two characters, Abraham and Moses, they belong to the order of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And had put their portraits on the walls of God's gallery. You can picture the gallery there, as you may choose. One day, God will put us in that gallery, in the way that you show your life walking by faith and not by sight. The Apostle Paul reminds his readers in this text and other letters he wrote that followers of Christ must not build their lives around things that have no eternal significance. In other words, we are not just living in this world for the here and now and for the things that this world offers us. After all, the Lord Jesus is very absolutely clear when he said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but suffers the loss of his own soul?" So you want, the Apostle Paul reminds his readers that following Christ must not build their lives on this, on things that have no eternal significance, eternal values. Her life must continue to be by faith, longing to go home from this world full of wickedness and suffering and unfairness and other things that causes pain and distress us in our lives. But although the Word of God says, our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned, in this world you should have tribulation. And that is the reality of it. But cheer up, rejoice, I have overcome the world. So we have that hope. We have that faith. We must cling to that hope because our inheritance is not in this earth. Our inheritance is our home in heaven, awaiting us. But while we are yet to go there, in the fullness of time when God will call us, He is preparing us in this world. And through the means of many means of grace, in prayer, Bible study, the preaching of God's word, the reading of God's word in your devotion, and the fellowship of the saints, and most of all, sharing the faith of hope, the gospel of salvation to others, while we are awaiting that prospect, that reality that we will have a home in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ assured his disciples, I will prepare a place for you in heaven. If it were not so, I would not have told you, he said. What a reality, an absolute truth is this. But sometimes, more often than not, when we are confronted with a lot of trials and difficulties, we slow down in our faith, as if we are like the world, lost in hope and wandering in the wilderness. But of course, that is natural. We still have our natural instinct. But the Apostle Paul continues to encourage us that we must walk by faith and by sight, meaning that we should long our great inheritance with Christ day by day, moment by moment, so that we will not be discouraged. So rather than pursuing the same thing that the world continue to bombard us and encourage us to what the world carries on and aiming for that position, for that lifestyle in this world at certain level, these things are not evil in themselves. They are good in themselves. But if they are leading us to idolize them in our lives and forget the Creator who made us and saved us through our Lord Jesus Christ, then it becomes evil. So that's why Paul is continually saying, we must walk by faith, longing to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ, making more our focus in our walk, moment by moment, walk with God, focusing on the unseen realities about walking with Christ, becoming more Christ-like, changing our minds with the mind of Christ in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and our heavenly treasures. For we will see the judgment of Christ, because the judgment seat of Christ is about reward giving for the good and faithfulness that we have done in his kingdom. So, going back now to the real issues, what does walking by faith mean? It means living life in the light of eternal realities or significance. Not life on here and now and what the world offers, but contemplating our heavenly inheritance every now and then with our Lord Jesus Christ. To walk by faith is to fear God more than man, to obey the Holy Scriptures, even when it conflicts with the world's standards, with the latest philosophy or acceptable trend, of thinking and perhaps fashion. It's not only among the ladies, but even men as well. People outsmart each other. But let's not be swayed by that. Although we should look nice and beautiful, it's good to show to the world that the inward changing is taking place inside as much our outward appearance. Okay? But you must learn to obey, regardless whether it conflicts with man's values. To choose righteousness over sin, no matter what the cost. I know it's easy to be tempted. Let's be our Lord Jesus Christ, like Him. He uses the word, the scripture says, worship the Lord thy God. And Him only you will serve. If we can put that in our consciousness, of course we are not God, but we will call our Lord Jesus Christ to help us in times of temptation. Lord, help me in this time of temptation. Help me, I cannot cope. The only thing is, are we willing to pray? What is happening when the temptation occurs? The more we dwell about it and I pray, then the temptation, the increasing moment and capacity of indulging in that temptation will increase if we don't stop and pray. That's why prayer, as we all learn that we have prayer in the church, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, so that the whole body of Christ will be protected from the wiles and plots of the enemy of our soul, which is the satanic forces that the devil or Satan himself try to do against us. We must learn to walk by faith, by trusting God in every circumstances of life. We must not dwell so much on what others say about us or what you say about others. We must always say the right glorifying things toward one another. We must speak as the great biblical teaching in Proverbs, be quick to listen rather than and slow to speak. That's a good advice in our walk and intermingling and fellowshipping with the world, particularly the Christians. We must be quick to listen and slow to speak so that God will be glorified in all that we do in this kingdom. And then another thing, what does it mean to walk by faith? Rather than loving the things of this world, which is in 1 John 2, 15 to 16, Christians should spend their lives glorifying God in everything they do. First Corinthians 10:31 mentioned that as well. It requires faith to live this way, to live a God-glorifying life and Christ-likeness. It requires living by faith in prayer, in reading the Word of God, so that the thoughts of God's holiness, God's ways of doing things, and remembering that His greatness surpasses the things that this world offers us. That's why we need to implant the great truths about God, who He is, that He is omnipotent one, that He is ever-present one in times of need, that He is omniscient, He knows everything. That's why if we read His character throughout the Bible and His ways, then we will not go wrong in our individual lives. It requires faith to live in living by faith, because we cannot see, we cannot hear or touch anything of spiritual significance on our own strength. So when we base our lives on the truth of God's word, which I just mentioned, rather than on the popular philosophy of what is acceptable, what is becoming popular, and what is gathering more influence to others, we are going against our natural instinct. And that is the cost, to live by faith. Whatever our natural instincts, which the world drives us and claim the world's values to have their reign in us, we must fight that by prayer and communing with God in reading His Word. Our natural instinct may be perhaps to put more money in the bank, to prepare for the future, to buy more shares of stock, and to invest a lot, which big companies do, and other Christian organizations as well. But walking by faith says we should give to those in need. In Ephesians 4:28. Let's look at that verse. Ephesians 4:28. It's very important for us to realize this truth. Ephesians 4:28. It says, let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So it requires our generosity to give to others. Society may say or picture in every advertisement on all types of media, society may say that sexual immorality is acceptable. But those who walk by faith base their standards on the unchangeable nature of God's counsel in His Holy Word, which says that any sex out of marriage is sin. Outside of marriage is sin. Galatians 5:19 says that. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Maybe it's good to include the verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And these are all forms of sins in the flesh. To walk by faith requires that we tune our minds and our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. In John 10:27, we choose to live according to what God reveals to us in His Word rather than trust our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. That is what faith requires. Not depending on our own natural understanding, but in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, we should seek that in our daily decision making. And so, as a warning, there is much distresses that is happening in our lives, especially in the lives of the Christians, which stems from unresolved conflict of these two word. Walk by faith and not by sight. But there's no problem with that. There's no contradiction with that. What Paul is saying is that sight is concerned with the tangible and visible, whereas faith is occupied with the invisible and the spiritual. That what God says is absolutely true, and we must believe it. When God says, somebody put it this way, anything, any doubts, any decision making that we need to make, and we need to consult God, this is how someone has put it. God has settled it. What God says in His Word settles the whole thing. That's why wisdom in decision making comes to God in prayer and His Word. Just like that, what I've showed to you, which is our main temptation. Sometimes we tend to speak more quickly than the non-listening. Isn't it? That's why it's important that we must slow to speak. Quick to listen, but slow to speak. That's a very, very good counsel from the Word of God. It applies to everyone, whether a Christian or not. So, in conclusion, we walk and move forward by faith. The ideal Christian life is one of progress. Not just to have faith, but there's an ongoing progress of usefulness after having spiritual growth and encouragement from the Word of God and fellowshipping with one another and listening to the Word of God taught on a Bible study, and even in sharing it in the preaching of God's Word. So a faith which does not walk and does not bear fruit may soon become too weak to stand. It will show. So it is by faith that my righteous servant shall live. And if he shrink back, the Word of God says, my soul takes no pleasure in him. That is Hebrews 10:38 says. It is by faith that my righteous servant shall live. And if he shrink back, my soul takes no pleasure in him. No wonder our lives are miserable, because we take and approach everything in our lives by our own strength. God requires faith in walking closer with Him. That God is present when we pray. That God will answer our prayer in due course. That God expects us to believe that He answers our prayer all the time. It may take time, but He's also answering no to our prayers for our good. And in all circumstances, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, the challenge today that Apostle for us would like to point to us is that Paul's highest goal in Hebrews 11:6 is to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it should be so for every believer, that we should please Him in all walks of life. So the word please, to please in Titus 2:9, is to describe. Let's come to Titus 2:9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. So the word translated to please in this verse describe those slaves who are passionate to please their masters. Now, in closing, are we passionate in pleasing our master who saved us? Let's pray that this morning we have that resolve to please God by walking by faith, meaning that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn, which is 356.